Welcome to Hammer Don.
Don.
The number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the PMI offices. I am your host, Tone Diggs, joined by the still hot. You're 2-2 so far in the week. I mean, you're going to have a winning night tonight and still have never have a losing week.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Still hot then.
Still hot. Gumpy was 3-2 yesterday. That counts as a nuke win, I believe.
Hell
thank
yeah.
you, Tony.
And on the FaceTime, former NFL GM, assistant to the coaching staff in New England. Not doing great right now. Host of the Lombardi Line.
Man, they stink up there.
The Daily Coach. Writes for The Athletic. The GM Shuffle Pod, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
And a boy, Pies.
Hello there. How are we doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Things are good. You know, how did he do this weekend?
2-1, I believe.
By the way, the weather did come into play on plenty of occasion there. Under in the Raiders-Browns was seemed like the lock of the century. I think it was at like 47 or something morning of the – that felt really good. But I was worried about the board this weekend. It bit me in the ass a little bit.
The win teaser that we put out very, very early in the week did hit if you got it early enough because – if you didn't get early enough, then the Bears and the Saints going to overtime kind of fucked you, went over by a point. But if you got it early in the week, you hit the win teaser that we talked about bringing back all the way up.
Congrats to us.
Yeah. And then the not congrats to us, we got an issue with the Tennessee Titans.
Hey, this team's
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, that was one of – you know, I like the Raiders and the Titans equally. And I thought I handicapped the Raider game right, and the Titan game, man, I was as wrong as I could be. I mean, it's really embarrassing. That was a bad one. They were never in that game. Backup lineman, can you imagine you're paying Clowney $13 million a year and he can't even get a sniff against Burrow? He didn't get a pressure.
And by the way, Burrow's been dead all season. He's been getting killed all season. I thought that was a layup for us.
Layup.
And then as I was watching the game unfold, I'm like – of course. You automatically have to be like, of course, because it was too easy that look. Like, what happened to them?
The number one play in the Circa $1 million contest. And lately, all the number one plays in that contest have been bad.
Oh.
Oh, so maybe that's something we need to start looking into with the nukes. Maybe send a launch code through the fucking thingy.
Well, there was also a nuke that Gumpy didn't tell us about Aaron Rodgers this week either.
Hey, that one I did not know about.
What is that?
0-7 when the daylight savings time changes.
You ever heard of a nuke like that before?
I think it had more to do with Mike Pettine's defense. Look, Dalvin Cook rushed for more yards than Kirk Cousins threw for. You know, the stat I gave about why I like the Packers is because the Vikings never had the ball. They had the ball 65 minutes in three games against the Packers, which, you know, is no time at all. And that flipped. I mean, the Vikings just made it a point that they weren't giving it back and it wasn't Cousins. I mean, look, if you're the Packers, you can't stop a good running game. And this is what's fascinating about the NFL. It used to drive Walsh crazy. All these young coaches love to draw pass plays. You never see them draw running plays. And the really good coaches know how to week in and week out scheme runs, how to develop a running game against the team you're playing. It's one of the things missing for Kellen Moore and the Cowboys. They just run their runs. They don't really understand how to scheme it. And, you know, Kubiak is an expert at scheming runs, and he can just do it against Pettine. I mean, when you look at it, compare with Kyle Shanahan did, and what Kubiak did the last two times Pettine has faced that style of offense, ugly.
So, Michael, do you think – so talking about the Packers' rush D, are you surprised that, you know, the Steelers go out and get Avery Williamson for depth at linebacker and then the Saints just traded for Quan Alexander? Are you a little surprised that the Packers didn't try to – or maybe they did try to get one of those guys but didn't get one of those guys?
I'm always surprised by the Packers. Look, I defended them on the Jordan Love pick because I felt like they needed to protect their future, but they've really done nothing to help their team this year. They really haven't. I mean, Love standing next to me on the game. He and I are doing as much to help the Packers this year as anything. So, you know, AJ Dillon, he's not really a factor.
The second-round pick, AJ Dillon, he played with COVID yesterday. Yeah. So who knows? I mean, shout out to him, by the way, for playing through COVID. Let's hope he survives, obviously. Hopefully. We hope he survives. But
takes all of us.
I mean, it does take all of us. What happened? Did he get room service on Saturday? How do you not have it then all of a sudden you...
Well, Marlon Humphrey from the Ravens went home Wednesday, I guess, with some sniffles from practice, and then he practiced Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and didn't test positive until Sunday. So, you know, who knows?
Oh, because the incubation...
This thing's slippery. This goddamn thing is slippery. Nobody has a handle on it. Anybody says they do is full of shit. Because, it ends up, somebody has it, they don't have it, negative test, positive test. Like, seriously, how do you keep track of it? It's impossible.
You 1,000% cannot, my friend.
I'll tell you this, though. The Green Bay Packers, I mean, if they opt out of making any moves here for the trade deadline, after opting out of making any moves during the draft or free agency, I mean, that would be a wild turn of events to look your fans in the eyes and say, like, we care about it right now. Because, look, the Saints, much like what he said, Saints got better, Seahawks got better, the Buccaneers got better. I mean, everybody has gotten better. The Niners just got completely worse, by the way. T's and P's, everybody that's playing for the 49ers, everybody's hurt over there. George Kittle's out 8 games or something. Jimmy G is out indefinitely or whatever. But every team that's really in it in NFC has gotten better. You know, they've all made plays, and the Packers have just sat there and done nothing thus far. But allegedly, they did call Antonio Brown. Schefter told us that on the show today. Mm-hmm. They did call for Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown chose Tampa Bay, Q Gronkaneers over the Green Bay Packers for whatever reason. But allegedly, they're trying to make moves, but they've done nothing, nothing, Paizan.
And then he can't help their star quarterback out. You know, he's going to get frustrated with this because yesterday there was a lack of weaponry on that field for him. I think I felt like that. And then defensively, you know, when they can't stop a running game, when you can't get control of the other team, and the ball's going to Dalvin Cook and you still can't stop it, man, that's hard. You're right about the Niners. The Niners are going to focus on next year. They'll trade D Ford if they can't get anything at all for him. In the coming day, they're going to start dumping salary. San Francisco, they know this is over with.
All right, so let's quickly, because the line is on the move, so let's get to this quickly. Let's talk to the people about the Thursday night game, which is Packers 49ers. It opened up as Packers +1. They are now currently -3.5.
Oh, fuck.
And I know, Gumpy, I believe the nuke after an Aaron Rodgers loss is
11-0.
Aaron Rodgers is 11-0 ATS or straight up?
Both.
Aaron Rodgers 11-0 ATS and straight up. After a loss. So if you want to get him on Thursday night, currently -3.5, opened up a +1, I would jump on that.
And it's going to move even more with all these injuries that are getting.
Would you agree with that, Michael?
Absolutely. I think you got to take advantage of it. I mean, Nick Mullen, look, the one thing you do know is Kyle Shanahan can run the ball on Mike Pettine. I mean, for sure. The last time they played, it didn't take much, but I do think the weakness of this 49er defense against the pass will show up, whether they get Sherman back or not. You know, the Packers will be able to throw the football effectively on.
It is funny that after giving up what they just did to Dalvin Cook, they faced the team that they gave up 186 yards before.
Maybe I don't bet on them.
I mean,
it's not a slam dunk now. I mean, Jimmy G didn't have to play in that championship game. He could have stood next to you.
6 times?
I mean, he just handed the ball off to Morsett, and, you know, now they're hurting their running back, too. I mean, they got the kid from Baylor in there, Hasty, who I like coming out. But he fumbled yesterday. That was the one thing I think, that one thing we really missed a great opportunity to tell people about. Everybody was so preoccupied with the line movement to San Francisco up in Seattle. But that damn Seattle, they're resilient. They're tough-minded. And Russell Wilson wasn't going to lose to them. I didn't give a shit what the numbers were saying.
Seahawks are 33-15-4 against the spread their last 52 after a straight-up loss.
How about the fucking Nick Mullins play, though, if we're going to talk about the Niners? The end of that game, Mullins comes in. They actually start almost making it something there, that Russell actually had to show that he's still a savage and put a foot on their throat there at the end. But there was a time there where Mullins was moving. I was like, wait a minute, is there? Because this is the second time in 3 weeks. Now, granted, I think Jimmy G's hurt, which is why he came out.
Yep.
But second time in 3 weeks, Jimmy G is coming off a field where the team had no shot of winning. And then this yesterday, Nick Mullins did. And you like Mullins early. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't know how to view the Seattle Seahawks, obviously, are unbelievable in the NFC. I mean, what Russell Westbrook.
I mean, those receivers are just incredible. The way they catch the ball, the way they run after the catch, how physical and tough they are. And you know, he makes play after play. I mean, they're hard. Look, you got to play 60 minutes to beat their asses. It ain't going to be easy now.
DK
you got to score, too. You got to score if you're going to beat him.
DK Metcalf couldn't run a good cone drill, though, Mike.
Yep. Oh, yeah, the cone drill, Mike.
You know, the thing about – let me say this about DK Metcalf coming out. I think his route tree was so limited, people were scared of him. and he could run a vertical nine. And yet, everybody was worried that he was a straight line speed guy. And he played at Mississippi with had AJ Brown. And you really, it was, remember, the receiver position is really hard to evaluate in college. People evaluate the catches, but there's more to it. Get away from press, initial quickness in and out. But this kid has been able to develop lateral change of direction and his quickness beyond anything he did at Mississippi. And credit to John Schneider and all those guys. The kid's work ethic, determination filled in the blanks, which what you didn't see at Mississippi. Because to me, he was a limited trout runner. And if you had any of those West Coast teams, which Seattle was one of them, couldn't really love him. But Seattle kind of felt like, we'll get him to run slants, we'll get him to run nines, and then we'll build from there. And that's what they did.
And he has built quite.
He's
quite
dominant, dude. He's like Randy back in the day. Now it feels like
he
that.
Really is.
Yeah,
he's more. I mean, he's when he gets the ball in his hands, he's more powerful than Randy.
It's one thing Carroll probably doesn't get enough credit for is really being a player's coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's worked his tail off from where he is. I think what happens is so many of those John Ross guys, the guys that run real fast, that do it on a straight line, that don't make it. There's something you've got to kind of peel back the layer. And this was a kid, Metcalf. His route tree was so limited, people were concerned. But, look, the guy is an incredible freak of nature, but he's also one of the hardest working guys you're going to see.
He is a mm-hmm. I mean, and I like his eye, the paint, the eye black he does, too, the straight up and down,
Yeah, yeah.
He feels like he's going to be a guy for – and Russell Wilson drops that ball from the sky. Russell Wilson could have done whatever he wanted to do yesterday. Yes. And it's – if you're going to beat him, you're going to have to score. That's why it's interesting because, in the NFC, it's becoming like a 4-3-headed race. Mm-hmm. Arizona Cardinals could make a run, I guess. But, boy, the Packers not doing anything is the story of the day right now for me.
If the Seahawks get Dunlap and Snacks – and Jamal Adams coming back, and Wagner was blitzing shit out of the Niners yesterday.
They got to get better somehow. If they could just put some pressure on, and they'll probably make another move here before the day's over with. Seattle, one thing Schneider's good at doing is they're good at finding some pieces, and you got to do that, unlike Green Bay, which just sits back and watches these other teams get better. And look, they're fortunate because Detroit's not very good. I mean, Detroit got their asses kicked, and Minnesota's rebuilding, and Chicago, how painful was that to watch? I mean, seriously, Chicago, when Troy Aikman's calling to put Mitchell Trubisky in, you have sunk to depths unknown to man.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick because again, the Chicago offense does not look good at all. They were talking about bringing in Mitch. Nagy fucking stinks too. Like, do you think can they go back to Mitch? Should they go back to Mitch?
I mean, the team has no confidence in Mitch. If there was ever a game to go back to Mitch, that was the one there, right? But Nagy feels like if he goes back to Mitch, he's committed to him for the next week. He can't, he might give him a little bit of a smart, but he knows in the long term, Mitch is only going to get him beat. At least he feels like, look, we're in that game. It went to overtime. We scored 10 points. There's a lot of things we could build on. I mean, you just got to wonder. I mean, Nagy's sitting there looking at his play sheet. Meanwhile, he's got a receiver out of control, punching it. Can you imagine? I mean, to me, if they don't waive that kid, I don't understand what they're doing in Chicago.
Suspended two games that just came out or whatever. That was some of the most – somebody on the internet, Sacks or something was his last name, S-A-A-C-K-S. Zach, I believe, was his first name. I'm not 100% sure. I apologize for not giving the right credit to somebody that went back and watched the film. I guess CJGJ ripped that guy's mouthpiece off of his helmet in a previous series. So then he had to sit on the sideline for like 11 minutes. He gets back out there. That was his first chance to get back at him. And I don't know if he tried to snatch his chain or maybe his mouthpiece, and then he swung on. Whatever the case was, one of the most selfish, ridiculous things I've ever seen on the football field. Now, you can't obviously compare that to what Myles Garrett did or anything like that, but this was just so stupid at such a time where his team needed any type of – I think they threw a pick the next play, right? 15-yard penalty, throw a pick. I mean, it's just – it was so stupid. So dumb.
And you see him when he walked off the field?
He was flexing.
He just throws his pads down on the ground like somebody else pick them up. I don't have to pick them up. Like, seriously, just some equipment guy will pick them up. He just threw his pads out before he went down in the tunnel. Like, to me, if I were the GM, that guy would not be on the team today. Now, I would say this. I think that guy needs anger management classes badly.
Yeah,
I would make sure he was in anger management, but he wouldn't be a Chicago Bear if I was running that operation.
How many awkward conversations have you had with people whenever you have to tell them that they're no longer on the team? Have you ever had like a blow up? I think we had one situation, but it got covered up so quickly. Like there was like rumors that something happened, and then like 2 days later we heard that there was potentially a little bit of a blow up of steam. Does that happen ever whenever you're cutting somebody or
you know, you could tell by how I am. I just try to be brutally honest and tell them the truth.
Which
and
could be
I don't
a problem.
Try to pass the buck to some like, man, I wanted you, but the coaches didn't. I think that's really bad. I think that just divides an organization. Look, you just tell them the truth. Look, here's the situation. Here's where we think you are. Here's where I think you need to go to. Here's where I think you can go. You know, and if I were you, I would keep doing this. If I were you, I might. You know, I've told kids, hey, look, I don't think you got an NFL career. I'd still go back and do some things. If I, you know, and I'm telling you the truth. I say this to him, look, you are my son. Here's what I would tell you. And I think that's the only way you can talk to him.
Speaking of the Bears, and we talked about the Titans a little bit earlier, the Bears are +6 at the Titans next week. The juice is on the +6 for the Bears, -122. So I think it's about to go to 5.5. Is that something you would consider looking at?
You know, that Titans defense is really bad. And if you can't look good against a Titan defense, I don't know what you can look good against. I mean, seriously, I know they made the trade today, but does that really help them? I mean, Clowney is in witness protection. He's in West Cape May, New Jersey. You can't find him. I mean, he's had no sacks, no pressures. He's been paid $13 million. It's really between him and Vic Beasley, it's truly been bad for the Tennessee. They were counting on those two guys to get pressure. They can't even get near it. To me, since they've lost Taylor Lewan, the left tackle, they haven't been as good offensively as they were before.
1,000.
Go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. Go ahead.
So I'm a little bit. I got to look at my numbers this week. I'm not an early. I want to watch the tape of the Bengal game. But I thought Tannehill was getting hit more in that game than I thought he should have gotten hit going against the Cincinnati team that I thought they could protect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move on. Let me ask you about the Steelers and the Ravens and kind of the Steelers. Because everyone here is saying, like, hey, you should be happy. The Steelers are potentially the best team in the league. But I have some reservations just because I'm a cynical fan, and I saw the second half against the Titans and then the first half against the Ravens. But if you combine the first half of the Titans and the second half of the Ravens, then, yeah, they're the best team in the league. But what do you think about the Steelers going forward?
Well, I mean, they got Williamson today. I think that's a huge help for them. I think that'll help their defense. I think, look, the reality is you've got to be really good at tackle. And you've got to be able to protect the edges. And Truitt inside's been dominating. Yeah. So you got to have a good line to block, and then you can throw the ball on them. And once again, as we talked about on the last two pods, the Ravens have no drop-back pass game. And because they have no drop-back pass game, when they play against these kind of teams, they get in all sorts of problems. And that's what happened. You know, they can beat most of the league by 30 points doing what they're doing. But for them to take the giant step to beat Kansas City or to beat Pittsburgh, they got to throw the football more effectively. And that's on Lamar and that's on Greg Roman. I mean, they have to stop running the offense that gets them 30 against the bad teams and run an offense that they can get better at. So when they play those better teams, they can execute it properly.
I think
the Steelers are right there, and I think they'll match up to Kansas City, and here's why.
Okay.
Kansas City's weakness is their two tackles. When you can pressure those tackles, if you watch the first 50 minutes of the Super Bowl, when San Francisco and Bosa and those guys were screaming off the edge and pushing that pocket back on Mahomes, they were doing some damage. They got tired, and that's when it fell apart. But Pittsburgh can do that. Pittsburgh will cause some problems for them.
I think we are at the point of the season, by the way, where we can look at teams and know if they're going to be able to beat that top-tier team mm-hmm. in their conference. Like, I think we're at that point where we can look at and identify some teams like, okay, that team they'll be able to win, but they can't beat the top-tier teams. It feels like we're at that point where we can start
the Raiders are that team. The Browns are that team. That's why I love the Raiders yesterday, because I thought the Raiders matched up really good against the Brownies. But you're right, Pat. There's certain teams like, you know, the Raiders. I know they beat Kansas City, but that kind of was a little flukish. But they're not going to beat their – if the Raiders go play Pittsburgh, they're not winning that game. They can't run the ball in Pittsburgh.
The Raiders getting points again this weekend against the Chargers as well, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, look, how do you bet the Chargers and really feel like you're comfortable with the outcome? It was 4 minutes to go. If you bet the Chargers, you have to leave the television room with 5 minutes to go and have somebody tell you what happened because you don't want to watch it.
Hey, we were in that group text at 4 minutes and 18 seconds when somebody ran out of bounds and nobody even said anything to him after he did it. Like, the coach didn't say anything. None of his teammates said anything. It was just like, yeah, it was another play, ho-hum. It's like, fucking put the game away. Like, there's some real things that have to happen over there. But they have the pieces, I think, if they do figure it out, to be
that
very
great.
Unbelievable. He's very good.
So let me ask you boys moving forward then about coming off your point about the Ravens. If they have to drop back pass, they're in trouble. They are 3-point favorites at Colts this weekend, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, a lot of early money coming in on Baltimore as well.
3-point favorites at the Colts. Really? Is the Colts a defense that can turn them into a drop-back passing team and give them trouble?
Well, the Colts can match up athletically with them. The key to playing Baltimore is you got to play base against them and be athletic enough to be in base. That's where the Steelers. The Steelers basically say we're not going to play a substitution game. The longest run they got yesterday is the Steelers went to nickel and they ran the ball on the Steelers nickel. The Steelers are simply saying, look, we're going to match up. We're going to make you have to. You're going to have to try to run the ball against our big guys and we're going to tackle your quarterback with our big guys. We're not playing that game with you. I don't know if the Colts can play that game, and I think the problem I have about this game is, can the Colts protect Phillip enough to where he's comfortable throwing the ball in the pocket against a pretty good rush?
Can Phillip Rivers have two good games in a row, Mike?
Great question.
Yeah, that's a quick question. And against a fast defense, and he's not fast. Detroit's not a fast defense. Detroit's really slow. Detroit doesn't have enough team speed. You know, Baltimore has team speed on defense.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because you know Matt Patricia, I assume, a little bit. And you said that the Patriots don't have team speed on the defensive side of the ball. And this is very off topic here. Okay, so I apologize for this. We're going to get away from the Colts and Ravens, which I didn't bet on the Colts this past week. I don't think I'll ever bet on the Colts this season. I don't think we know what team they are. They could be unbelievable. They beat Lions by 20. They looked unbelievable. And then there's some games where they don't. Sometimes they don't. Bill Belichick just came out with a quote. And he basically flexed on people for the first time. And Matt Patricia, you know him over there at Detroit or whatever, but you say team speed, they don't have this. The quote that just came out from Bill Belichick, and I really, really want your take on this. Hold on, let me find it. Bill Belichick just flexed on everybody for the first time. He says, I mean, look, we paid Cam Newton $1 million. It's obvious that we didn't have any money. It's nobody's fault. That's what we did the last 5 years. We sold out. We won 3 Super Bowls, played in a fourth, and played in an AFC Championship game. Have you ever heard Bill Belichick just state it how it is like that before? I'm so happy he said that. I am so, so happy he said that.
Yeah, because nobody really understands really how to build a team together. They did. They have. They've done a lot of redos. You know, they sold out for Antonio Brown last year. There's dead cap money on their team from him. There's dead cap money on their team from Tom Brady. And his point about what they paid Cam $1 million, they had no money. They couldn't pay Cam any money. That's why they only paid him $1 million. So, yeah, I think that – and that's what their depth is. And I think that their drafting and the lack of total team speed that they have is reflective of that. And also, as I wrote about in The Athletic, because they can't develop the players within the system, they're missing that, you know, and they haven't like, I thought they played their best game yesterday, especially in the second half. They were close. They're getting closer to where they need to go, and they're finding their identity as a team of who they're going to be moving forward, but they turned the ball over in the last drive. They're going to win the game if they don't turn the damn thing over. So I do agree with what he's saying, but there's so many people that think they're general managers that want to run the team. Like the Rams are going to pay a price next. There's so many teams that are going to pay a price for sacrificing this year for next year that we're going to ask the same question, and no one seems to want to accept the cap as an answer.
The Saints
because
are,
it does come to fruition.
Michael, the Saints are, after today, I believe $100 million, potentially going to be $100 million over the cap next season.
No doubt, and they're going to dump players. I mean, they're going to dump players, and they're going to try to – what they're going to do is just redo contracts, dump players, and eventually it'll catch up to them. I mean, they do a really good job. Mickey Loomis does a good job of manipulating. But at some point, you know, they're not going to have Drew Brees on the team next year. That's just odd. They're not going to pay Taysom Hill a lot of money if he's not the starting quarterback.
All right, Michael, going back to the Patriots and the Bills game real quick. Who do you think wins that division? because I potentially I've lost all faith in the Buffalo Bills as a good football team.
They should have stomped the Patriots this weekend. This was the chance to do it. They'll never have a chance again.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Patriots were going to win that game. Actually, yeah. I'm just watching the Miami tape, and the Miami, I thought Tua had a really good throw on a deep out, but I thought he was less than excited watching him play. I think their defense is really good. And again, we said this, Goff is the perfect guy to bet in game betting. Like, in the first quarter, you should have bet against Goff in that game.
Flores just has Goff's number. I mean, he did him up in the Super Bowl when he was with the Pats as well.
No doubt. And the pressure bothers Goff. And if you can pressure him and you can cover it like the Dolphins can, I think the best team of the Dolphins. I think what's happened to Buffalo is Josh Allen's accuracy shows up. And the other reason they ran the ball effectively, I said, is because New England was a nickel. New England was trying to get them to run the ball, slow the game down, make plays. And, they weren't able to make the one stop in the red zone that they needed to make.
Mike, are you saying that last game of the year, Dolphins-Bills, is going to be for the AFC East?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I mean, look, I think the Patriots have to continue to get better. They can't miss practice. They've got to get, they got to get more physical inside. They're in that two defensive linemen front, and they got to get better there. And then they've got to throw the ball more effectively. I thought they're finding their niche offensively a little bit. It ain't great. It's never going to be 40 points, but it should be in the 20s. They should do enough. I mean, the problem yesterday was once they had a negative play, they couldn't overcome it. Well, hold, they couldn't overcome. They couldn't overcome a negative play. That killed them.
So I
think it's Miami, but the way Tua played, I'm not sure that he's going to give them enough juice to make up for it.
So, Mike, the Dolphins have the Cardinals this week in Arizona.
It's going to be tough.
Then they have Chargers, Broncos, Jets, Bengals.
Oh, let's go.
They are plus 600 currently to win the AFC East. If you,
They're the best team in the AFC East. I would take that.
They
could lose to any one of those teams they're playing.
There was four bad drops as well. Preston Williams dropped two. There was one deep ball Gesicki dropped. And Chan Gailey did handcuff him a bit, Mike, if you watched the whole game.
I'm watching it now. The Gillespie drop, that was a pretty good play by the DB, though.
Yeah.
That DB almost intercepted that pass. Actually, I thought that ball was just a tad underthrown. The thing I worry about with Tua is he going to be able to make all the throws you need to make? And once people start, to me, this is just super one view. But when Herbert came out of the gate, you were like, wow. I wasn't wow.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, Gumpy's a Dolphins fan, so he's not going to hearing that. But
he threw for 93.
Well,
yards.
See, here's what I think they're doing, though, Gump. I think here's what they're doing. They're saying to themselves, "We got to find out about Tua." I think Adam Schefter's dead on right, and they're comparing Tua to Justin Fields because they're going to have a high draft pick with Houston. They're comparing Tua to somebody else in the draft. They got to figure out. They want to know they got the right guy.
Justin Fields' pocket presence on Saturday night was incredible, Mike. He looked incredible against Penn State.
To me, he looks really good. Like, if you said to me, I could pick Tua or him, I'd take him. But, Tua's size worries me. I think he's plays small. He's short.
That's tough for old Tua, That guy.
Hey, just win, baby. 1-0.
Just win, baby. 1-0.
Fucking Ryan Fitzmagic was benched for a chance to look at a guy to see if he's better than another guy that they can get. That's tough for Fitz.
Hell of a league. It's hell of a league. It's
tough.
Speaking of just win, before tonight's picks, can we put up the graphic, Mitt, if you have it, of so far what we have? So Lombardi with 2-1 is now moves to 15-12. 2-3 so far on the week, not great. 27-17, fucking Saints, pieces of shit. Hold on to a lead. Pat's still 34-14, which is incredible. And Gumpy is 28-22. So moving into tonight, the line is -12.5. Buccaneers favored at the Giants. They are getting 66% of the bets and 72% of the money.
Oh no,
Michael, you want to lead us off?
Oh no.
You know, this is one of those games. I think this should be an in-game betting opportunity because I think the line has kind of gotten carried away. I think if Brady gets protected here tonight, if his offensive line protects him, and you're going to know early in the game how his protection's going. If he's got good protection, I think they cover the 13. If it's a little leaky and they can slow the game down like they did against the Rams, and they played really good against the Rams, I think the Bucs win, but I don't think they cover. This is a lot of points to give up to a home team you know, that has been competitive. I mean, they haven't just been horrible. I mean, they're not a great team by no means. They play hard. I worry about Daniel Jones against Todd Bowles in the sense that when this game speeds up, Daniel Jones doesn't play very fast. And he can't turn the ball over, but he turns the ball over every week. So I lean towards, if you told me I got to take the points, I'll take the points. But I think it's an in-game betting opportunity.
Okay, great knowledge there, Gumpy. Gumpy. He doesn't know what to do.
He's doing it. Bucks 5-1 against the spread last six as a road favorite. 4-2 against the spread last six. 5-2 against the spread last seven road games. Giants 6-20-1 against the spread last 27 home games. And the road team in this matchup 6-0-1 against the spread last seven meetings. It's a lot of points. Tommy's cooking right now. Let's do it.
Yeah, me too. I'm with the guy, not only because of everything he said, but because I think they will be able to protect him. I've gotten word that inside that building, they've been talking about potentially, you know, losing this game, losing everything. So I think they very much understand that they got a good thing going. Tonight, you don't let the Giants interrupt that, okay? Tom Brady's not a guy who's going to fuck around, all right? Tom Brady's a guy who understands what's going on. We talked to Darius Butler, former teammate of Tom Brady's. He said he knows the landscape of the world right now. He saw what Russell Wilson did last night. He knows what's going on up in New England. Tom Brady knows a lot of this stuff. Look for a big night out of old Tommy Brady. I like the Buccaneers minus 12.5. I also like Tom Brady over 200 and something pass yards, whatever it is, 280, maybe 261, over for pass yards. I like that a lot. I'm going with those two this evening. I like. And also, now, it's a lean.
We could lean.
Danny Dimes over 26.5 yards rushing.
Oh, yeah. Danny Dimes, is, yeah. I mean, he's had 80-yard rushes the last
he's
two games.
He's got to run it. He'll have to run it tonight.
So over 26.5. Make that an official bet, too. I got three for tonight. Okay, really trying to change this whole 2-2 thing.
Hold on to that pinky ring.
Yeah, I want this pinky ring for a long time.
All right, my one bet for tonight is the Giants under 16.5 points.
That's an awesome bet.
Thank That's you. Electric, Tony.
Hey,
I love
put her there, you. Pal. There's no it. Other show doing that.
I love
Thank
it.
You. Giants under 16.5. How do you feel about that, Lombardi?
I like it. You know, I do. Look, I think what you guys said about I think knowing Brady, you know, the one thing I would say, there's no one thing about Brady, there's no mantles in his home. So there's no trophy gets put up there after any accomplishment. There's none of that. And he will be relentless on this team to rise to a level of excellence in a game against a team that he knows he should beat, especially in light that they've got to beat New Orleans next week on a short week. So,
he's got AB waiting at home too now, Mike.
Things that I think in the game that these Monday night national games that become harder and more challenging that sometimes are a little bit out of his control. I think they win. There's no doubt. I think they win. I just worry about the game slowing down and covering that 13.
Yeah. Well, I'm just expecting.
But I mean, my numbers. Look, I will say this: of all the games this weekend, based on the two teams playing, if I look at my numbers, and I think I had like three losses in my numbers last week. This game came out to 15.5.
Oh yes, we did it. We win. We like every time I bet with your numbers, we have good things happen, pal. I don't know your numbers, by the way. We're gonna have to see it someday.
It was actually a bigger spread than the Chiefs spread that I had. For the Jets. Dude. This one came out big. I
you
mean,
know what?
Tammer time.
Really put me on the Bucks. Put me on the Bucks.
Well, yeah, if you're betting Giants under 16.5, you know the Bucks are going to score more than that. You're all it just makes sense.
Well, like
Why
I
not?
Said with the Jets, I said, hey, the Jets are going to score under 10, and then the Chiefs are going to score under 30. Similar. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. Oh, babe.
Michael, thank you so much. See you on Thursday.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you. We'll be in touch. Watch the game tonight. We'll talk.
We're going to watch it. We're going to watch it.
I mean, we'll all watch it together. I mean, I like when we text.
I do, too.
I get my frustrations out.
Yeah. I do, too.
Yeah, me
some of the dumb play callings that are going on in the National Football League. Like, what just happened, you know?
Yeah.
Like seriously, I thought, like, last night we could have gone on and on about some of those play calls. Like, really, whoa.
Bad. Hey, quickly, what'd you think of Carson Wentz last night?
Joe, what the fuck is he
doing? I think he's a lost soul. And I think Frank Wright might have been the glue that held that whole thing together. Because he hasn't been the same since Frank Wright left.
What do you think was going through his head when he took that sack fumble? That guy was right in his face.
I don't know what he's thinking about. What was going through his head when he threw the interception in the end zone? Like, seriously, what was good? Throw the ball out of bounds. And then what was going through Doug Peterson's head? You're playing against the worst run defense in the history of football, and you're calling pass plays. Well, right. Stop looking at the sheet and call, you know, again, call some runs. Let's get a power back in here. Let's run this thing. You got Don Finucci. I mean, I won that one. I Don covered Finucci. That one, but it wasn't how I thought it was going to go. I thought the Eagles' offense would have looked good and won. You know, like, poor Ben, that kid had no offseason. He said, no, I mean, I don't think he's horrible. Just I think he was put in a horrible situation.
The Nooch.
And for the Eagles to be that bad offensively and to score really maybe, you know, 15 points against the Cowboy team, come on.
All right, Michael, we talked about Finucci then, and talk about bad situations. They have the Steelers this week. I don't see a line yet on FanDuel. What do you think that line's going to be?
Oh, that line's going to be at least 13. It'll go up to 14. I don't have it here, but just on that, I mean, yeah. I mean, because here's why. They're not going to run the ball on Pittsburgh.
No.
And none of those gadgets are going to work, so they're going to have to throw it, and those two tackles can't block anybody. And then the Steelers will run the ball. The Steelers are like the lion in the cage getting the meat. They will go after them. They will. They'll go after it. They, you know, they don't get bored easy, Pittsburgh. They'll go after it. You know, whereas Doug's over there calling pass plays. Like, seriously, Doug, they can't stop the run.
They really couldn't. I mean, Boston Scott was getting like 8 yards of carry last night, it seemed like.
And then the next play, he calls two passes and they're punting.
There's so much stupidity going on in the best league on earth. It doesn't make much sense to me, pal.
It does make a lot of sense when you're a young 24-year-old kid and Bill Walsh, and you're driving him to the San Francisco airport, and he looks at you and says, you know what, kid? This is not the best of the brightest.
What's that? It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's why they rise to the top. Cream rises to the top.
That's why Tom Brady
and there is a definite gap between what really good coaching looks like and what just really bad coaching looks like. And we're here to help you get to that.
That's what we're doing, Paizan.
All right, we'll talk to you tonight during the game.
Grazie.
Bye, babe, Mike.
To everyone else, thank you so much for listening at Hammer Down on Twitter and Instagram.
Bro, I wish, like, Belichick just flexing on people. That's what we did the last 5 years. Three fucking Super Bowls made to another one AFC championship. Question.
He's every right.
Legit. I'm so pumped that he actually said, like I hope he does it all year. 20 years, we had 9 Super Bowls, 6 of them.
Well, it's like
I hope he just starts like.
The guy won with Matt Castle.
Well, it's like when you or like any of us are like seeing shit on the internet about us, and then it's like you can only take so much before you fucking snap and say something back.
That's what I think happened with Bill. Yeah. He's like, people want me to fire myself as general manager. Okay, 20 years, we just went to 9 Super Bowls. Fire myself. I love it. Let's do a full heel turn. You know what I mean?
1,000%.
Like, he's already been heel, but now let's do it to the max and even start cutting promos, mm-hmm. which is what that answer was. I love it. And maybe if he's going to continue to do interviews, love to have him on the show.
Hey, Bill, come on Pat McAfee's show.
Come on the show.
Noon to 3 any day.
Hey, listen, we'll let you flex on whatever.
We'll pre-record too, but probably for you if you want.
Yeah. We won't do that for a lot of people. I just, it's real. You have to, you know, you have to stand for something, because if not, you fall for anything.
Roman Empire.
Trojan horse.
Trojan horse. Michael, he said his sheet had of the Bucks at 15.5. So take that for what it's worth. He didn't really make a pick. Gumpy's taking the Bucks. Pat's taking the Bucks. Tom Brady over and Danny Dimes rushing over. I'm taking the Giants under 16.5 in the Bucks.
You know,
and that's the show.
No, I'm not going with it.
What?
I was going to go with you on that one, but I don't want to because I don't enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to enjoy it.
But I would like the Giants to fail offensively. So I'm kind of – that's what you saw going on over here. So. But do I want to go with this unders life? Because it's not great. It's not a lot of fun. People do successful, awesome things, and you got to cheer against it. It's not fun. I don't know how you do it all the time. You've been making a lot of money, and it's awesome, and I've won with you before. But then I started thinking, like, yeah, but I fucking need them to score under 16 probably anyway.
Yeah, you do. Most likely. Unless Boxer win 55-30.
Which could be –
Hell of a Monday night game.
Put AQ Shipley in there. Third, fourth quarter, let him.
You know what? If we see AQ tonight,
we all win.
Yeah, we win.
We all win.
If
that round mound of man gets on the field tonight, America wins.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. See you Thursday. Hammer.
Down.